This is KDNK's local and regional news. I'm Marilyn Gleason. The Rifle City Council has certified the results of November's election. The final results for the city's proposed lodging tax were 846 in favor for the measure and 862 against, a difference of just 16 votes. KDNK's Mike Lemmer brings us more details.
The proposal on the ballot in Rifle would have raised the city's lodging tax from 3% to 5.5%, a move that would have brought the city's tax more in line with neighboring municipalities. The increase in funding would have been used for citywide improvements, including beautifying the downtown area. Rifle Planning Director Zach Higgins says that despite the ballot measure's defeat, the need for the funding still remains.
In fact, we're seeing like more people interested in the facade grant. I think that program could be made more robust. There's other improvements that could be made around, you know, shade structures and other economic development activities that we can see spur, whether it's movement downtown, because that's one thing where the Main Street kind of program is focused, but the grit funds can be spent across the city. So we, like anywhere where existing businesses are now, we can start to see those things be improved, and whether it's a facade grants or we also use a significant portion of that budget to put on community events, like the Third Thursday events that we had in Rifle throughout the summer. Hometown Holidays is funded through the lodging tax, as well as events that are not put on by the city that we fund other programs like Rambo, their extravaganza event was just put on by in part with grip money.
Higgins believes that the lodging tax's defeat was likely due to confusion over its wording on the ballot.
Anytime you see, you know, should the city increase tax, you're gonna have a pause, and I understand that. I just hope that there is, you know, if it goes in the future, that there is a better understanding about what kind of a tax this is and who it affects most directly. You know, just to, maybe there's a better understanding around the, there's actually no local hotel owners that this is really affecting. These are all national chains, and the majority of the folks that are using this are just driving by on 70 and they stop for the night. This isn't, you know, necessarily people that are coming to Rifle to vacation. They're just, you know, it's travelers. The folks that are staying longer term in our hotels, like the workers for Grand River Health and things of those nature, once they hit a certain time, I think it's 30 days within that room, they stop paying that tax anyways. So it's only for short term stays. It's not any sort of a longer term rental tax.
Higgins also says that the lower voter turnout of an election off year also likely affected the ballot measure's defeat. Reporting from Rifle City Hall for KDNK News, I'm Mike Lemmer.
The Rifle City Council will be reevaluating the proposed lodging tax during upcoming work sessions and will debate whether to put the issue before voters in a future election. Last December, a rupture on an Enterprise Products pipeline in southwestern Colorado on tribal and county land caused tens of thousands of gallons of refined gasoline to be spilled onto Florida Mesa. Now the Environmental Protection Agency is getting involved in the cleanup process. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KSUT's Clark Adamitis has more.
The gasoline pipeline rupture spilled an estimated 97,000 gallons on the Southern Ute Reservation and La Plata County land. Now, federal regulators are increasing their oversight. The Environmental Protection Agency will fulfill its federal trust responsibilities with the state of Colorado and the Southern Ute Indian Tribe over cleanup and hazardous waste management at the Enterprise Products spill site. The December 2024 rupture is considered Colorado's largest oil or gas spill since 2016. A failure of the pipeline or welding on Enterprise's Mid-America pipeline system sent gasoline rushing throughout Florida Mesa. Benzene has seeped within half a mile of the Animas River. Officials say the river is at low risk, but full remediation is expected to take years. Officials say that to date, more than 20,000 gallons have been recovered. The tribe contacted the EPA with, quote, significant concerns, unquote, about Enterprise's hazardous waste management. The tribe, the EPA, and the Colorado Department of Public Health have conducted a joint inspection this week to see if Enterprise has rectified the issues. For KSUT News, I'm Clark Adamitis.
Meanwhile, in Utah, a group of young people is suing the state's Division of Oil, Gas, and Mining, saying its permitting of fossil fuels violates their rights to life, health, and safety. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanez has more.
This lawsuit is specifically challenging new oil and gas permits issued by the agency, which the plaintiffs say violates state law. Utah's energy policy used to mandate that the state prioritize fossil fuels, but in 2024, it amended it to prioritize, quote, human well-being and quality of life. Andrea Rogers is with Our Children's Trust, a nonprofit that works on youth climate lawsuits. She says research has shown that extracting and refining fossil fuels negatively affects Utah's air quality.
So you're pursuing a form of energy that not only takes years off the lives of your children, but it's more expensive than renewable forms of energy.
The state says it's reviewing the lawsuit and that it's committed to regulating energy development to protect the environment and public safety. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
The endangered Mexican gray wolf is decades into a recovery effort. There are nearly 300 of them in parts of New Mexico and Arizona. The Mountain West News Bureau's Jenny Kinsey reports on activists' hopes that the wolves will one day roam beyond a designated containment area.
On a dusty gravel road 3.5 hours south of Albuquerque, there's a wolf hunter.
Nice to meet you.
Likewise.
Michael Robinson hunts wolves with his binoculars and to document their movements. He's with the Center for Biological Diversity, which advocates for wolf recovery.
First thing I'm going to do is get this map situated. This is the Gila Wilderness area.
The Gila Wilderness is a nature preserve and home to the wolves.
Down this a little bit to Black Canyon, and you'll be able to see what an area that's been healing for decades from livestock looks like, just the efflorescence of life.
Wolves were once common here and other parts of New Mexico and Arizona, surviving on deer and elk. But when settlers came, their prey declined. Wolves turned to cattle, and that led to efforts to eradicate them. In the 1970s, the wolves were listed as endangered.
The reason they were brought back to this landscape is because it has some of the largest roadless areas left in the United States.
Robinson is the author of a book called Predatory Bureaucracy about the wolves. He says this recovery started with just 7 Mexican gray wolves. Their offspring were reintroduced here in the late 1990s. Today, 286 wolves are restricted to what's called the Mexican Wolf Experimental Population Area. Robinson believes the area is hindering their ability to recover.
Significantly less genetic diversity than there was 20 years ago.
He and other conservationists argue that the wolves face health issues like birth defects, but wildlife officials say they're tracking a victory.
I think we've seen a lot of success in the last really 10 years, almost averaging 13% growth.
That's Stuart Liley. He's the chief of wildlife for the New Mexico Department of Game and Fish, which works with federal agencies. He says the health of the wolf population should be measured in decades.
We saw a lot of growth in the population when we transferred over to where the animals on the ground were wild-born themselves. Transition period probably started around 2015, 2017.
Sometimes federal agents and ranchers shoot the ones that stalk cattle. Wolf advocates say such incidents are rare and want wildlife officials to let the wolves roam beyond the experimental area. Theoretically, the wolves could crossbreed with other wolves in Colorado, where a reintroduction is in motion. But that idea doesn't sit well with ranchers like Tom Patterson.
If the American people want to have wolves in the landscape, then it shouldn't. The cost of that shouldn't be put on the back of ranchers.
Patterson is also president-elect of the New Mexico Cattle Growers Association. He says compensation programs don't always satisfactorily address financial losses. The cattle growers are lobbying the federal government to take the wolves off the endangered species list. But Sally Paez, an attorney for the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, wants the opposite. Her group is fighting in federal appeals court to get the wolves dubbed an essential species.
What we have in the United States is one single population of wild Mexican wolves, and yet the agency has determined that they're not essential.
Back in the Gila Wilderness area, Robinson says wolves are inseparable from the ecosystem.
When wolves are used to preying on elk, they will often bypass cattle and simply ignore them, even if they see them, just because it's not what they're used to preying on.
On our trip, the wolves were as elusive as finding consensus on their future is. Robinson did not spot any, but he knows they're out there. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Jenny Kinsey.
This is KDNK News. This is KDNK, a community cornerstone since 1983.